This is Will's Band of the Week for July 14th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
And so this is a little bit unusual. It's late night your time, or late evening, and late afternoon my time. And Madison's just had some really big thunderstorms. So I was driving home and through, you know, sheets of rain and some branches that had broken off the trees. We seem to have gotten through it, though.
So weather is also a bit crazy in Europe. The jet stream has moved, apparently. You don't know this if you're an ordinary person, but luckily we have the meteorologists to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's blown the hot air from Africa, and in France and Spain and Italy, it's 40 to 45 centigrade, which is like 110 Fahrenheit.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
The schools were closed in Paris, and oh, it's really hot. I hope everyone's okay. It's dangerous to health. It's so hot.
Yeah, that's very unusual for that region, I would imagine.
Yeah, the listeners will be glad to know in Ipswich, UK, it's been 20 degrees today. What's that, about 65 or something? 68, maybe? It's nice. Nice temperature.
Normal summer weather, then, for you.
Yeah, it's gone cloudy again now. But it was okay. Nice day. Yeah.
Now, of course, I suppose we should tell the listeners about the time shift for this podcast, right?
We better admit it, because I'm going to make a mistake that's going to give it away anyway. It's difficult to do this. Yep. Any professional can pull this off.
Right. So we're recording this probably like 2.5 weeks before it actually goes up because of the crazy schedule in July. So, You know, I don't you think basically, though, that most of our podcasts are timeless?
We're going to talk about some timeless records, aren't we? That's a good segue.
Yeah, they stand on their own as timeless, so, you know, it doesn't really matter. The only thing is, there could be, what I always think when we do this is there could be a significant death of the week, and we wouldn't be talking about, and people would be like, well, how come they're not talking about this guy? Like, what if some guy from 38 Special died? I mean, obviously we'd be on the air immediately discussing that.
Yeah, so maybe the UK could have a new prime minister by the time this is out. And we aren't even discussing it because we don't know.
Exactly. That would be topical. Got to cover that political news every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of died down since the big looming deadline ended. So now it's not getting the international press as much. So I'm kind of just waiting for something to happen.
But you'll be here. You'll see it in the news when you're here. You'll be glad to know.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Yeah. Yeah, so I won't be quite in Ipswich, but I'll be, you know, not that far away.
Same United Kingdom. Yeah.
Same continent.
400 miles away.
Right, so hopefully we will have some good reports from there, too. So going there specifically for the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
To scout out some things. So, let's see. You know, so we're going to be talking about a couple of classic albums. We're going to call them classic, right?
Yeah.
From the year 2006. But before we get to that, I think it's probably appropriate. I mean, I think we've got the time. So why don't we do one of these? It's time for the
Rockin' Apple Update.
The listeners can do this at home. It's a great pastime. You can do this anytime from a computer with internet access. Just go to WAPL.com and you will see the Rockin' Apple's last five songs that they've played. So I've adopted the rule that we can pick any of those five, because if we had to play only the most recent one, I think we'd be stuck with some pretty terrible stuff, and then just ruin the feature. So I think you got to be able to...
All five. If we played all five, I think we'd lose what remaining listeners we have.
Right. That's true. So, fortunately, this just also happens to be the the last song played. It was Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. And you kind of have to be a rock and roll fan to know what Black Dog is, right? Because they don't sing the name Black Dog in the song. But, you know, over the years, of course, if you're a classic rock fan at all, then when you hear Black Dog, then the riff immediately comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's this one.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
I guess if you were paying attention to the lyrics, then you could say that's really terrible. But, you know, just like riff rock, you know, kind of kicks ass, right?
Yeah, rock and roll. No disputing it.
Right. So, yeah, there you go. Some classic Led Zeppelin. It's I come back to this a lot, but I always find it interesting that when Led Zeppelin was in their prime, the critics didn't like them at all. They... you know, they'd get terrible reviews in Rolling Stone or whatever. Be like, you know, this is just crap. And then the more time went by, people were like, hey, that was actually pretty good.
So, yeah. And now people would find it hard to believe, I think, the fact that you just stated. They're universally adored, you know, lauded as the great pioneers of this rock and roll. And
Right.
You know, these people forget. Bands can be bigger after their time than they were at their time. It's a strange thing.
Right, absolutely. So, yeah, we've got a little bit of synth backdrop today. So,
bit of mood music. It's like a drone. It's like a didgeridoo or something.
It kind of is, yeah. All right, well, any more features? I think that we have all these podcasts we have to record, so we're going to save live reports for another day. And should we just go to it? Let's talk about the classics from 2006. So you've got a favorite... from 2006, and this is fun because I don't think I ever even heard of this, so I don't know if it didn't really get traction in the United States or if I just somehow just didn't come across it. But take it away.
Here we go. Well, you said we were going to do some holiday special, vacation special podcasts while you're away there visiting the European Union, and that you said, what ideas have you got? And I put this to the panel, and somehow it's snuck through. This is one of my favorite albums of all time, really. This is not hyperbole. And this, when I was listening back, the feelings of nostalgia just surging and through me, and it really takes me back to that time in my life. And I think when you have a very album that's important to you like that, when you listen to it again many years later, it will transport you back because of how important it was then.
Right.
This is the album Front by the band Luxembourg from 2006, as you said. Now, I have a friend of mine said, if I'm pleased with my, you know, what I say on the podcast, I think it goes quite well, then he's going to post the link on the Luxembourg fans Facebook page. So if I can get through this mistake free, then I'll give him the link, and then this will be good. All those fans will be able to enjoy this. But I'm under a bit of pressure here. I normally do make a mistake or two.
We'll just edit everything out. Anything that's not 100% perfect, I will edit out, so you'll sound incredibly smooth, no matter what.
I feel you're under pressure. No, this is, you said they didn't really gain traction in the US, and to be fair to them, it didn't gain a lot of traction in the UK either. I think it's fair to say it's quite a DIY approach. They used to play a lot of, they were much on the indie scene, indie pop scene in London, played a lot of club nights there where they were, I guess there'd be 50, 80, 100 sort of people, kind of thing. And they were quite prolific in that short period. I think around 2005 to 6, 7, something like that, two or three years. And sort of a cult group as well, the same people would go and see them again and again. And I was living in Sheffield at the time, but only had opportunity to get to see them once, which is, I don't know how it happened, really. I really wanted to see them more, but it's just sometimes these things, they could never seem to fall into place for me to get to see them. But the one time I did, it was really fun, and I'm glad I managed it at least once. So let's play a track, and then maybe we can fill in some more bits and pieces about the band as well.
All right, I've got it queued up right here.
I'm going to kick off with track 6, Relief.
Luxembourg. So, did something happen with the sound in the second verse? Did something kind of change? Like, it sounded like they changed the EQ on his voice or something. Something kind of interesting happened, but I couldn't tell if it was like an equipment malfunction on my part. But I think it was, it sounds like it was on purpose. It was kind of a subtle thing.
Okay. I never noticed that. You're more of a sound engineer type than me.
The sound nerd. Yeah.
Sound nerd, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, with that sample there, you can already hear David Shaw is the singer and lyricist, and you can already hear this. I think it's absolutely amazing. The lyrics are hilarious, poignant, melancholic, I suppose, thought-provoking. And he tells these stories, and I guess it's stories about everyday life like you get in this indie pop music. But then his vocal delivery is so brilliant as well. You can go through the ranges there. So that's one of the great assets of the band, I always thought.
You mentioned Suede. When you were trying to describe to me what they sounded like, and there's definitely a comparison there for sure.
It's interesting. I can link into a good point that we always used to say. So this is 2006. Of course, you had Pulp and Suede and Blur,
right?
The main Britpop in the mid 90s. So this is coming 10 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is as good as anything those bands ever released. That the album is consistently brilliant throughout, and some absolutely great songs. As good as, in my opinion, as good as those other bands that ever released. But unfortunately, Luxembourg, maybe they were 10 years behind their time. I don't know. Or if they'd been amongst those other bands, they could have been as famous as Suede are now. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to figure that out, isn't it? Band popularity never makes sense. Well, let's keep on playing some more.
Yeah, I have three more picks already here. So let's go now to track two. It comes out on the album after the sort of intro piece. So it's really track one, but track two, Faint Praise.
Definitely Britpop. You'd never mistake these guys for an American band, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I struggle with Britpop as a concept, but I don't know. Sounds somehow pejorative to me. I don't know who it's meant to be. It's pigeonholing, isn't it, in a way? It's like, oh, if you're Britpop, you're a certain kind of thing and you can't transcend that.
I think just most band genre descriptions probably have that failing, right? That they, you know, just call it that and then it pigeonholes it. But this is a good example, definitely, of you know, that. I think, do you remember this band called Doves?
Oh, yeah, from Manchester.
Yeah, and they were what I would call Britpop. And there's probably, like, I don't know, I could probably come up with a lot more. I can't come up with them as well as some people, just off the top of my head, but...
If Amanda was on here, my God, she'd name 20 in 30 seconds.
If I go back to my music collection from like the 90s, there'd be a lot of them. And there were some that, you know, it'd be fun. We have a lot of untapped podcast resources because there's some old stuff that, like when digital music was just starting, you know, like it was probably about 2004 when iTunes came out and you could burn your CDs to a digital file, you know, and it had some semblance of some kind of MP3 player, like the early iPod or something. And I remember I had a whole bunch of CDs, and I was just making them into computer files, and a whole bunch of albums, and I was being really kind of stingy about it at the time. There are several albums, you know, or CDs where I've got like four songs that I decided to save that were worth it. You know, I could have just done the whole thing, but I remember thinking, well, God, this CD has four great songs, and I'm just going to keep those. So anyway, sometime I'll go back to some of those. That's pretty fun. But some of them are definitely
that's one reason I wanted to do this, because the podcast began in whatever year, 2009?
Right.
And so anything that was released before, okay, we have gone back a few times, of course, to do some specials, but anything released before 2009 is quite a strong chance we haven't talked about it. So it's good. There were many great albums released from 1960 to 2009.
There actually were, yeah, pre-podcast. It was called the pre-podcast era, the pre-Wills Band of the Week era.
The pre-Wills Band era. Yeah. It's good to go back. We're 2006. We're working our way back gradually.
Right. And it's not a year okay. that you would like just say, oh yeah, we got to do 2006. I will have more to say about 2006, but let's play another track by Luxembourg.
Here we go, yeah. Now, this is my favorite by Luxembourg. And listen out for the cowbell. This is just superb. Track 4, What the Housewives Don't Tell You. Housewives Don't Tell You.
Yeah, it's got everything, right? It's got the starts with the piano, and then you're lulled into thinking it's like a sort of a ballad, and then this kind of really loud, crunchy guitar comes in, and then the cowbell, and yeah.
And then the great lyrics again. He goes on to say, I could spend all day in your favorite cafe, and the staff are almost ready to turn me away. Almost ready. I just love it. You know, almost ready. It's just brilliant. Very, very funny.
That's good.
Barrett was listening, our good friend and co-podcaster Barrett was listening earlier, and he came up with another band. Barrett often comes up, he's usually the first one to come up with a similarity.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
He said there's a bit of Brian Ferry in here.
Oh, that's why you said we should discuss Roxy Music.
Yeah, he and I got talking about Roxy Music after that.
Huh, interesting, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose so, the vocals, yeah. Well, until we have the Roxy Music special, it's hard to say, but I think he's right.
Yep. So, you've got another one.
Yeah. Okay. We've got a few. I can hear Grant rehearsing in the basement there.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Track 12, Luxembourg versus Great Britain.
Shoreline slipping slowly into the sea. The demographic is a little top heavy. When you're old, we'll let you starve if you don't let us be. Here you've been thriving on drivel and insinuation. Now it's time to shut your mouth and take a little dictation. You'd better hope the shorthand is up to speed. We're giving you your third degree. Consolations, I've given them all. But you're all the same. A pathetic, apathetic, missing life away while slaving all these hours to pay for finery and the fresh. wish I'd bought the water and binary. But it's not about the money, it's the hang of money that depresses the hell out of me. We've been very patient, we've been patronized. Something tells me that this stage is behind us. We're standing right here. Something tells me that the moment's upon us. We're screaming in your face and you still can't hear us.
Luxembourg.
There we go.
So according to the streaming service, they there's nothing from 2006 until an EP in 2014 and another one in 2018.
Yeah, they had a little five-track EP last year, I think, in the spring. And they also played a gig in London in December last year. But again, I said I always miss them when they play, and I was away watching British Sea Power in Cardiff that day, pre-booked. If I could have changed the plans, I would have done, but it was one of those things you can't change. And so they'll play again, and I'll be there, that's for sure.
Very good, yeah. I mean, we might be able to call them, by our definition, aging rockers, but they can't be that old, you know, really.
I think they were older than when the average band starts up, when they were originally, back in 2006, they would have been in their, well, I'm guessing here, like mid to late 30s, I guess, something like that.
So we can call them aging rockers.
By now, they definitely are.
Yeah. For the people who haven't listened to this podcast before, we call a lot of people aging rockers. So don't take offense.
No, stop it in a bad way.
We call ourselves...
In fact, you gain so much wisdom and dignity as you age, don't you?
Right. Well, the podcasters, we are all aging rockers except for Craig. He's the only non-aging rocker.
I'm working my way.
Yeah, in a few years, we'll have to call you an aging rocker in a few years, but you're not there yet. You haven't earned it.
No. Put it hard yards here.
So, 2006... So, you know, you were telling me about this thing from 2006, and I don't know why, but one album just popped into my head. I must have had the year 2006 associated with it. But then I went back and found a whole bunch of things I really liked in 2006, and I'm wondering if it's maybe, I don't know if it was a really good year, or it was just that maybe I was getting back into music more after being in the throes of really little kids. So... I'm not sure, but I've got a whole bunch in my library that I like from 2006. But the one that that just popped out that I thought would be fun to talk about is the second Yeah Yeah Yeahs album called Show Your Bones, which I consider it to be underrated because I think the fans love the first one, Fever to Tell. I'm not sure what all the fans think about all the other ones, but I think this one, it's a little bit transitional. It has some acoustic guitar in it, and it has some less cutting edge and a little more poppy stuff on it. It's just a lot of good stuff. So let's play some of this album. I will start with number 5 called Honey Bear.
We'll be right back.
The Yeah Yeah Yeahs from 2006.
This is going to be quite fun because I think I would have listened to this album at the time, but definitely not since. And so it's good to go back with a bit of a fan aficionado like yourself, Will, and listen to this again and analyze it a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, there definitely are things that don't age well. And you go back and listen, you're like, that wasn't that good. And there are other things that you listen to and you're like, that was really good. So this one, I feel like at least the early Yeah Yeah Yeahs albums have aged pretty well. So that song has on my library here that it records the number of plays, and it has 106. I believe that's because Reese has been a big Yeah Yeah Yeahs fan. He's listened to things a lot more than I have. So
you're just covering for your obsession by Reese now.
Right. I think I was mentioning this on a recent podcast, but I usually don't listen to albums, even if I love them. It's like 10 times is a lot of times for me to listen to an album. You know, I can get great enjoyment out of like 6 or 7 listens, and then I'm, you know, listening to something else. But yeah, 106. But actually, that's only the second most played song according to my data here. The first track, Gold Lion, has been played 216 times in my library. So, but I'm not going to play that one. It's too obvious. I'm going to go to number 7, which is called Dudley. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that song a lot. Very good.
Yeah, they were showing their pop hook chops, I'm going to call it, with that. You know, where they were, I think their early stuff was going for the more punk rock, provocative, more screaming and stuff. And they maintained the ability to do that, but they also brought in a dimension of being good sort of pop songwriters, I think. So, yeah.
Again, the vocal delivery is very important, isn't it?
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you don't like the way Karen O sings, I guess you're not going to like the band. That's true with a lot of bands. I'm going to play one that's sort of, it's a ballad. It's kind of a ballad. But it's not the last track. It's number 10 out of 11. So maybe we were having a little discussion about piano ballads. Maybe we can talk about that in a minute. But let's play number 10, Warrior.
Must have been the end of the story.
Pretty good vocal performance, I'd say.
Yeah, very interesting.
I mean, the whole song. Yeah. So this was not one of Reese's favorites. In fact, it's the least played song, only 30 plays. So I guess he and I have a disagreement on this one. But I think it's a great one.
Well, they have this data now that there's the streaming services, Spotify and Apple Music, and they've analyzed it, and they show that people, the first one, two, three tracks in all albums and EPs are the by far more listened to. People don't get to the end.
Yeah, in the days of people listening to singles now. You know, the kids these days, they just don't have the patience to listen to a whole album. Is that a valid complaint? I'm not even sure if it is, but...
No, people don't read all of books either. On Kindle, Amazon can see...
Yeah.
Amazon, for the Americans, can see how far people read into books, and they just read a first chapter or halfway through, and many books are unfinished.
Didn't they have
kind of
that?
Sad in a way.
Do they have the data on that? Like how far people have read?
Yeah, for particular books and things, and they say, "Oh, this book is considered to be a classic, and everyone will tell you they love it, but most people have never even finished it," and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. And I think we're a little bit different than the current typical music fan in not only listening to albums, but I think our focus is a lot more guitar rock, which is kind of maybe becoming uncool, but we still think it's cool.
Yeah.
Now, we don't limit ourselves to guitar rock, but I think we just find ourselves liking a lot of it. So I'm glad there's still good guitar rock.
We were going to talk a bit about piano ballads.
Right, yes. So the Luxembourg album has a piano ballad at the end, right?
Yeah.
And
not one of my favorite things when bands do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably about 2 years ago that we were talking about that, about this tendency to put a piano ballad at the end. And then I was saying, you don't see it as much with a live band because they do, bands that just tack a piano ballad on the end, they may not even have a piano as a regular part of their instrument lineup, so they're not going to be bringing a piano with them on the tour, so they usually don't play that song live, right?
Yeah.
It seems pretty typical.
Why would you? I just don't understand why bands do it. What the need is for this to have the piano ballad just sitting at the end there? I don't know.
Do you ever hear? And it's not just piano ballads. Do you ever hear the last song on the album, and you just say to yourself, "It's so obvious that this is the last song on the album because it'll have a certain vibe to it that like we're wrapping things up here or something."
Yeah, I guess that's I don't know. In a way, it's kind of nice, I suppose, treating the album as an art form still. I suppose one thing we might do is complain about the kids these days, disrespecting the album and just picking and choosing tracks.
Right, right.
It's nice that bands still, if they think of it as a piece of work in its entirety, then of course you'd start and you'd go through the middle and to the end, and the end would sound like this is the closing piece. But it's just kind of awkward somehow when the closing track sounds different to the rest of the record.
And then we were talking about... The similar concept of bands that end their set with a really quiet song. And, I'm not really against that in concept, except that I think being an aging rocker and, you're out late, the band's been playing a while, I kind of want the stuff late in the set to have some energy and not to just kind of be like, okay, now we're going to do a 5-minute slow song, acoustic guitar or whatever, So that's my preference. So bands out there, if you want to take a tip from an aging rocker, play something upbeat at the end.
Yeah, I think when it works, it works. And it's hard to say whether it's going to or not. But
yeah, I guess if you whip the crowd into a hypnosis, and if you completely have the crowd...
Yeah, and then you can really draw them in. Somehow when it's a quiet song, everyone appreciates everyone being quiet and getting into the mood together. But it can also kill the energy. So I don't know. It could go either way. Be careful out there, the bands.
And then there's the occasional gig that, it seems like I've seen this happen once or twice, and people always talk about it, like where the sound system gets turned off and the band keeps playing. and they play like, you know, just on the stage and just try to yell as loud as they can and play a song after the PA system gets turned off. That's kind of a rock and roll thing to do, right? Because, you know, sound man is
Bruce Springsteen at Hyde Park in London or something. Maybe they might be, or Neil Young, one of these guys who plays the 3-hour sets. Yeah.
And they were past curfew, right?
Yeah. They have these huge concerts in London in the summer, I don't know, 65,000 people or something, and they finish about 10:15. But, oh no, Bruce Springsteen and Neil Young don't, whichever one it was, neither of them like to finish at 10:15 anyway.
Have you ever been to a, like, a 2.5 hour or longer show where it kept your attention for the whole time? It just seems, boy. They used to say that about Springsteen when he only had like 4 or 5 albums. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he had 30 years worth of, well, I guess he doesn't still have 30 years worth of a catalog. It's almost it's 10 or whatever. But still, I can't even imagine it. Like a 3-hour show by Springsteen in like 1979. But people would say, the fans would be like, oh my God, it was unbelievable. He played for 3 hours. And I'm thinking, okay, after an hour and a half, okay, I think that's enough. Play one more hit and we're done. So,
at least in baseball, you have a seat. I think if it's seated, I can take it 3 hours. It's okay. As long as there's meal breaks and drink breaks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand for 3 hours. No way.
I have another aging rocker problem if I'm sitting. This happened to me at the McCartney show. I'm sitting, and if my knee is at a certain angle bent, it starts to ache horribly, and I have to get up and walk around. So I had to get up and walk a couple loops around the arena in the middle of the McCartney show.
But, that's all those years of running.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is, but yeah, it could be that. All right, we've only just barely touched on 2006, but we hit a couple of good ones, right?
Yeah.
So
many other things. What were the other things I listed off that had, on Midlake was a 2006 Trials of Van Occupanta. That's a good one.
Yep.
There were tons of others. I don't know.
There were so many. Yeah. So we'll save the others for when we do the 2006 special. So I wonder what Baird's got from 2006. He's got to have something.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Good. We kept the podcast moving along and gave the listeners something. To at least $0, I think, to sustain the listeners so that we hopefully won't have to skip a week. So that means regardless of when we record the podcast, we will once again be back next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. With correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.